adrenaline is released in your body. You can't do anything about that. Adrenaline is just automatically released. And you become, you take it to another level. And that's just the body's way of letting you know that something is wrong. That adrenaline, you're like, you know, that's why, you know, when people, what do? To tense up, you know? And so when you initially get angry, when it comes on you, it may be because you're dealing with some knucklehead, it may be because of some other situation, but when it comes on you, there's nothing you can do about it. But the second after it comes on you, then that's when you need to start dealing with it. And the problem that we have is that when it comes on a lot of people, they process it the wrong way. And then that's when it becomes destructive.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall, thanking you for joining us for the first half of That Is One Angry Bird from our series, Let's Get Personal About Your Issues. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of That Is One Angry Bird.
Today we're going to be in Genesis chapter 4. If you turn to Genesis chapter 4, and we started a series a couple of weeks ago on Let's Get Personal About Your Issues. Last week, we dealt with the issue of loneliness. Today, we're going to be reading from Genesis chapter 4, verses 1 through 8. And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore a son and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bore his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. Cain was a farmer. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought from the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstling of his flock, of the fat thereof, and the Lord respected, or had respect, unto Abel and his offering. God was pleased with Abel's offering. But unto Cain and to his offering, he had not respect. So the Lord didn't respect the offering that Cain brought. And Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, why are you angry? And why has your countenance fallen? If you do the right things, if you do well, shall not you be accepted? And if you do not well, sin lieth at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel his brother. And it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and killed him. And I want to speak to you on this subject today. Our subject is anger, but the title is, man, that was one angry bird. That was one angry bird. My granddaughter, who is 5 years old, that when I bought my iPad, at least I thought it was my iPad, and every time she comes over, it's her iPad. And so I had the iPad out, and she said, Pop, can I play with your iPad? And I said, yeah. And she said, you don't have any games on here. And I said, well, what games do you want? She said, I want Angry Birds. I said, no, I never heard of an Angry Bird until she told me about it. And every time she comes over, she likes to play Angry Birds. And these birds are blocking down cages and knocking down walls because they're angry. They're just angry birds. And, you know, we see that in our society today, that we have a whole lot of angry birds. And I'm not talking about the ones that fly with wings. I'm talking about the ones that are walking around on two legs. We got a whole lot of angry birds. And today I hope that if you were one of those angry birds, that you would let the Lord speak to your heart and that you would see the devastating and destructive consequences of anger and what God says about it and how we can get the victory over it. If you'll go to that next slide, I'm going to show you how important this thing is and why we need to study a message like this. June Hunt says that anger is one letter short of danger. And anger, when it's unchecked, every time when anger is unchecked, it will lead to danger. Christian counselors have reported that over 50% of all people who come in have issues with anger. 50% of people. And since it says Christian counselors, I'm going to take that as talking about Christians that come in for counseling. 50% have an anger issue. They're ready to go beat somebody up. They're ready to go beat somebody down. 50%. So, again, I don't know, as we reflect on the congregation this morning, what percentage of you sitting there right now have an anger problem. I don't know if it's 50%, but there are a significant number of individuals here today that have an anger issue. Unless we need to be reminded, one of the phenomenons of our day is road rage. And what does road rage come from? Road rage comes from people who are angry. I heard about a story in Philadelphia where, you know how it frustrates us, right? When they block one lane, I know this last couple weeks, they've blocked one lane on Penn Avenue in Wilkinsburg. And so they've been letting people go. And the traffic, man, has been backed up all the way to Ardmore Boulevard. And you can begin to get a little frustrated, you know, as you deal with that. Well, this was one of the situations in Philadelphia where they were letting one lane go at a time. And finally, they let this one lane go. And just as they were letting it go, one guy pulled up on the side of another guy and pulled in front of him. And then when he got in front of him, he turned around and he made an obscene gesture. And so the guy who he cut off got hot. And this is a fact in the newspaper. When they came to the next stop, the guy got out of his car, went up to the man, shot him and killed him. Anger is one letter short of danger. So anger is all in our society today. If you just, you know, you look at some of these music people that have been tweeting back and forth, you know, the Brown and this other young lady, you know, they got into a debate over the internet, and they just started tweeting back and forth. So, you know, here's people that's making big money, right? Here's people that's well known, and they're getting angry. And then we look at our society and we see husbands are angry with their wives, wives are angry with their husbands, parents are angry with their children, children are angry with their parents, brothers are angry with their sisters, sisters are angry with their brothers. Man, we just have a bunch of angry birds that are out there. A whole bunch of angry birds. And so as we look at this issue of anger, we see that there are two types of anger. The first type of anger is what we call sanctified anger. And this is the anger that is good, that all anger is not bad. Because in the Bible, it says 275 times in the Old Testament that God got angry. Psalm 7 and verse 11 says that God is angry with the wicked every day. So God expresses anger. We see that even Jesus Christ got angry. He went in when they had defiled the temple, and he went in and began to drive out the animals and turn over the tables. Jesus Christ himself got angry. And then the Bible says that we as Christians should get angry. It says that you should get angry, but when you get angry, don't sin. You know, I think of a righteous anger. A righteous anger is when you get angry and something positive comes out. Martin Luther King looked and saw all the injustices that was happening to minorities in this country. And he began the civil rights movement, which revolutionized our thinking, revolutionized our society. And many of us who are here today are beneficiaries of what Martin Luther King has done. And why did he do that? You know why he did it? Because he got angry. He looked around and saw what was happening, and he got angry, and he went out and did something about it. So there is a sanctified anger. But there's also, sad to say, which is the testimony of many people, there's a sinful anger. A sinful anger. And that's what we're going to focus on today, sinful anger. Well, what is sinful anger? Well, Ephesians 4:31 gives us a perfect description of what sinful anger is like. It's bitterness, it's wrath, it's anger, it's clamor, it's evil speaking, and it's malice. And as we look at that, we can take away four things from that verse as we define what anger is. The first thing we see is that anger is an unpleasant emotion. How many people here today want to be bitter? How many people want to have wrath in their heart? How many people want to go around and hurt somebody? See, this is an unpleasant human emotion. You know, when you think of joy and you think of peace and you think of happiness, those are all pleasant human emotions. But anger, sinful anger, is very unpleasant because it begins to do stuff to you. It physically affects your body. Now, whereas your body might have been in a neutral state, all of a sudden, your heart starts to beat a little faster, blood starts pumping in your body, your nose starts getting bigger, you start turning a little red, things start happening, man, you turn from the mild-mannered to the Incredible Hulk, right? And here anger has taken you over. So we see here, we see that right in the definition, wrath, right? That's, you know, when a person is, you know what that word wrath means? It means to get warm. It means that you get hot. So when a person has wrath, then that takes a physical effect on your body. And we see here that there are even different levels of anger as we look at this verse. The beautiful definition of anger. We see that there's like bitterness, and that's where you just kind of walk around and, you know, you're just angry and you know, just hold it in and just gritting your teeth. And so there's that type of anger. And then there's wrath where, you know, you're hot and you blow up on people and you go off on folks. And then there's anger where you just start shouting, and then clamor is when you start hollering, and then evil speaking is when you start talking bad about people, and then malice is now you want to do some physical harm. You say, I want to snatch you in the collar, man, and I want to give you a Looney Tune slap. And then you just are angry, all right? So there are different levels of anger. And how is anger manifested? Well, when anger is not put in check, it is always manifested in a harmful way. It's always harmful, whether it's physically doing damage to somebody or whether it's going off and talking about somebody behind their back or to their face, whatever the case might be. Now, since there are two types of anger, there's sanctified anger and there's sinful anger, when does anger become sinful? Let's go back and look at our text today. Look at verse 5. When does anger become sinful? It says that Cain and Abel brought an offering to the Lord, and God was pleased with Abel's offering, but he rejected Cain's offering. And so in verse 5 it says, but unto Cain and his offering he had not respect, and Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. Why did Cain get angry? He got angry because something that was personal to him, something that was rooted in his character and his being, was rejected. And so now that God rejects his offering, Cain, his anger, see, as long as, you know what, let me say this, that when somebody makes you mad, there's nothing you can do about that, right? I mean, when somebody cuts in front of you in traffic, it's a physiological fact that adrenaline is released in your body. You can't do anything about that. Adrenaline is just automatically released. And you take it to another level. And that's just the body's way of letting you know that something is wrong. That adrenaline, you're like, You know, that's why, you know, when people, what do? Tense up, you know? And so when you initially get angry, when it comes on you, it may be because you're dealing with some knucklehead, it may be because of some other situation, but when it comes on you, there's nothing you can do about it. But the second after it comes on you, then that's when you need to start dealing with it. And the problem that we have is that when it comes on a lot of people, they process it the wrong way. And then that's when it becomes destructive. As we look, we see that when does anger become sin? Well, it becomes sin when you let it linger. When you don't deal with it. When you don't deal with it in a biblical manner, then it becomes sin. Anger becomes sin when it manifests itself in negative responses. Whenever you do something negative, it becomes sin. And then, like Cain, anger becomes sin when it is rooted in selfish desires and self-interest. And so, again, I'm a pastor. I probably get angry 15, 20 times a week, right? I mean, people do crazy things that make me mad. I do things that make people mad. So let's put it this way. Don't try to deny it. Anger is going to come on you. For you to say, oh, man, I don't have. Anger comes on every. God gets angry. That when God sees something going on, God, he gets angry, right? So all of us are going to get angry. So just mark it down. Put it in your Bible, put it in your diary, that at some point you're going to get angry. Now, the thing is, what do you do with that anger? And that's what we want to deal with this morning. So as we move on, we see, what is the cause of anger? What is the cause of anger? In verse 5, if you'll look there, it says, and the Lord said unto Cain, excuse me, verse 6, why are you angry? And why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, you'll be accepted. And if not, sin lies at the door, and sin desires to rule over you. And so Cain gets upset because God rejected his offering. Now, when we think about the causes of anger, psychologists tell us that there are four causes of anger. The first cause is when you've been treated unfairly, okay? When somebody has mistreated you. Then, again, you have that adrenaline rush, right? You have the hormones, they kick in when somebody does something wrong to you. It's just a natural response of your body to do that. Or when you've been hurt, when a person has been rejected, injured, overlooked, embarrassed, or demeaned. Again, you can't stop it, right? That initial surge comes on you. A lot of times when we are experiencing fear, we get angry. Why? Because anger is a way to fight our fears, that we can strike out back against our fears when we get angry. And then frustration causes us to be angry. When something, I didn't put this up there, I should have put this up there, something or someone blocks us from reaching the goal. That if I'm moving in a certain direction towards something, no matter what it might be, and somebody blocks me from going there, then the natural response is for me to get angry. What was Cain's cause of anger? Well, we see that probably hurt, okay? He was rejected. His offering was rejected by God. And that's what caused the anger in his life. As we move on and examine what's going on with this brother here, how do people deal with anger? You know, what are some ways that people deal with their anger? Norman Wright says that there are four ways that people deal with their anger. He says some people repress it. And that is, they refuse to admit that they are angry. They refuse to acknowledge the fact that, they are angry. And when you just act like it's not there, you're probably worse than any other person because you can't be helped at that point. When you walk around and you say, no, I'm not angry, and yet and still you punching holes in walls, you cussing people out, I'm not angry, I don't have an anger problem. You know, you're hollering at the drive-thru at McDonald's, you know, I don't have an anger problem. You know, getting upset with folk on the phone, I don't have an anger problem. If you keep saying I got an anger problem, I'm going to show you I don't have an anger problem. All right? So they try to repress it. And then some people, they suppress it. And what is it? They try to hide it from others. And you know what this is seen a lot of times? It's seen between husbands and wives, right? Husband or wife might be mad at their spouse. I mean, that man, they did something that upset them, right? And they try to suppress the anger. But then what happens? It starts coming out in little ways, in digs, you know, in smart remarks, all right, in a critical look, in frowns, right, you know. Husband or wife angry with their mate, but they've suppressed it, right? They've kind of put it down. But man, it's just like air coming out of a tire. It just leaks out every now and then. You know, it's not like a full-blown boom blowout, right? The tire just didn't blow out, but it's like a slow leak, man, that's coming out. And so many people try to suppress their anger. And then, like Cain, there are many who try to express it in destructive and harmful ways. How did Cain deal with his anger? Look at verse 8. How did Cain deal with his anger? And Cain talked with his brother Abel, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and killed him. How did Cain deal with his anger? He expressed it in a destructive way. Somebody said that people, that most children, and praise God for these children that are here today, that most children that are suspended from school are dealing with anger issues. And they acted out by punching one of their classmates or kicking one of their classmates or saying something mean to one of their classmates. And so what are they doing? This anger, and the anger might be there because, you know, I don't know who my dad is. My anger might be there because my mom doesn't care about me. My anger might be there because I'm being taken advantage of in my home. That my anger might be, there might be many reasons why my anger is there. But when I come to school, what happens? My anger is expressed. And I start to do things to act out and express what I'm feeling inside. So when you think about anger,
thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of That Is One Angry Bird. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, That Is One Angry Bird, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request That Is One Angry Bird. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request That Is One Angry Bird. Or call us at 877-831-5060. Keep in mind, the entire series, Let's Get Personal About Your Issues, is made available by request. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Galaise. Dr. Galaise is the author of 10 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.